You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced them I had to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. This got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of me, and we're talking moccasins and joke. Where the party gonna hell? Out in the St. John's swamps. Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey, boo-boo. I'm alive and I'm on this side of the ground. I got to tell you, my God, Bill, like we talked earlier today, ever since the news of that screwball coming out telling the so-called truth, again. Come on.
This time it was the truth.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about this Rick Dyer tramping around this country with this phony taxidermist body that he had made up. Bill, I've got to tell you something. There's a lot of forgiving and beautiful people out there, brother. And let me tell you why. I had people call me up and say, Mr. Viscardi, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I said, well, who is this? People I've never met, as usual, you know. thank you for telling us the truth. I was one of those people that believed what said on the Internet, on these blogs, on these forums. But you've said it all along. You told everybody the truth. I listened to your pods. Do we have a podcast, Bill?
Yeah, well, that's what it is. Once we finish it, we put it out on a podcast.
Is that what it is?
Forgive me,
ladies. I'm ignorant when it comes to this electronic stuff. I'm old school, man. Mm-hmm. So He's telling me all this. He says to me, you know, there was parts of me that wanted to believe you, but I read so much of that stuff, how they defamed you because of that crazy man. But I believe you now, and I'm so sorry. And I'm just not sorry for myself. I'm sorry for the rest of the world who got onto this guy's coattail or gets onto these coattails of these other people out there from the internet and says terrible things about you. Why don't they come out and say the good things that you and your team do? And the stuff that you bring light to these cities wherever you travel. And I says, you know, that's kind of nice. I have never had anybody say that to me. And they said, you know, I watched what happened in Rockwall, Texas, how they come out to greet you, how even your adversaries from Cryptomundo, and you were like Jesus Christ himself, and you invited him to sit at your table, and you paid his dinner, okay, with a couple of his people that he brought there. And I'm talking about Craig Woolheater, ladies and gentlemen. And I've got a picture of him and I together, and there's a couple of his guests. And I think he was just as surprised as I was. The moral of this story, ladies and gentlemen, is this. The reason why they have erasers and backup pencils is that everybody makes a mistake. I made a mistake. The mistake I made was I believed in these two cops, two officers. And they said, hey, we want to tell it and share our finds with the world now. And I says, well, you know, why don't we just wait another 3-4 days, possibly a week, and get the full report back from the DNA? Oh, no, we don't want to do it now. Well, that happened to be the biggest sensation back in August the 15th, 2008. It was the biggest story ever broke. It was called the Black Bigfoot Friday, ladies and gentlemen. And, of course, we've stayed away from it. We shied away from it. We stood under the radar. We didn't want to be part of these people, even the crazy accusations that they've made. And, my gosh, they've made accusations that are just total stupidity, you know. And I'm not saying that the world is stupid. It's called naivete, ladies and gentlemen. I think if I wasn't in the Bigfoot field, I would have believed like you believed, okay? Oh, man, he really had this body, and it really happened, and he's out there trying to make a buck, okay, and show it to the world. Wrong. We've said it from the beginning. We've held our feet firmly in the ground. Marco Bill did. I did. My entire team did. Even Bob Schmall's back. God bless him. It's his birthday, I think, this week. And, you know, it's the truth, ladies and gentlemen. But, you know, when you get slandered, you get defamed, it's like somebody saying, hey, man, this guy killed this boy in this little town. But remember one thing. It's like a coin that you have in your pockets, ladies and gentlemen. There's two sides to every one coin. That means there's two stories to every story, isn't there? But this clown came out and outed himself. Now he's the greatest hoaxer and the greatest jokester. And oh, by the way, I still have a real Bigfoot body. My God. And then there's
the government took the one that he gave us.
Yeah. It is ironic. And then, well, here's the thing I love. I love this. Is they're saying they got the state, I don't know if it was the attorney general or somebody trying to bring lawsuit against him because he fraudulently took all this money from everybody. How much money do you think he made, ladies and gentlemen? Think about it. Did he make $10,000? Did he make $100,000? Did he make $500,000? I don't know, but I heard that in Texas and New Mexico they shunned him. In Arizona they shunned him. I have no idea, but guess why he outed himself, ladies and gentlemen? I understand his backer, one of the backers, I think he was from Australia, found out that it was fake and went up to him and says, hey, is it fake? Is it really fake? Because I got some word, and he finally tell him, hey, the charade is over. But then he came back, Rick Dyer, I think, and said, oh, well, he got his investment back plus $6,000 or $12,000 or some damn thing. I've been bombarded, ladies and gentlemen. Those of you who are so kind to apologize and be real people, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. My team thanks you from the bottom of their heart. Marco Bill thanks you from the bottom of his heart. There's a lot of crazy people out there, ladies and gentlemen. This is just the tip of the iceberg. I've told everybody, let's not waste our time. You can even go to minnowfilms.com and you don't even see it on their home page anymore. Okay? You don't even see it on their home page because they're so disgraced of what's happened. And those people used my image, they used my team, they used our stories to gain financial gain and fame. I'm sure of it. I have no doubt in my mind. And they did it under false pretenses. We never knew, and I'm sure Dallas and Wayne never knew, that they were going to have a compilation of putting us all together like this. But I'll tell you what, they're hiding their heads in the sand today. Along, well, this other clown, he just pops out all over the place, you know. He's got his smile and he's got his Stetson on. I don't even know if it's a faux Stetson or a real one. And I'm thinking of my, and a rag on his head. And he's out there telling me he's the best Bigfoot hunter in the world, the best Bigfoot tracker in the world. Give me a break, you know. And all you other haters out there, get a life. You know, it just don't work. Don't go trying to make a name for yourself or a side living on somebody else's exploits. Be the headlines yourself. Do something constructive yourself. Those of you know who I'm talking about. Those of you know who you've got nothing better to do with your time because you've got too much of it on your hands. We don't have that time, ladies and gentlemen. We're out there doing what needs to be done. So, you will not hear me talking about it no more. I thought it was quite evident that we had to talk about it now. Because he outed himself. And as you know, he made a fool of himself one more time. And don't be surprised if you see him back again in the next 6 months. But that's his business. Our business at hand is Bigfoot. So, Bill, is that a newscast coming through or something?
I don't hear anything coming through.
You don't?
Nope.
Well, I'm hearing it loud and clear.
It might be on the phone line, Tom.
Okay, all right. Well, anyhow, Bill, I'm. You won't hear me talking about it no more. I hope now everybody will believe us that, hey, forget about this Looney Tune. He's gone. He's history. Until the next time, I'm sure, whatever he comes up with. But, by the way, we've got an interesting show here. Wow.
We sure do.
You got Loretta from Texas.
Yes, we do.
Super duper. Let's go out there to Texas and talk to Loretta. Loretta, you there?
Hi, yes.
Good evening, dear. Thank you for joining with us tonight.
Well, you're very welcome. Glad to be here.
Now, I think did you get a hold of us when we were out there in Rockwall?
I did. I had heard that you all were in town, and it was kind of late, and I was just like, oh, my gosh, I wish I would have known. And I decided to go hunt y'all down. Just like y'all hunt Bigfoot, I hunted y'all down.
Oh, honey, I remember you. Oh, yeah. Gosh, yes. you came where we were staying, and the girl called me, and we came out to say hi. And then
yes.
I introduced you to my team. I stood with you for a couple of minutes, and then I let them sit there and listen to the stories. And I guess you guys traded stories that night, right?
Yes, yes.
As a matter of
really
fact,
enjoyable.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something. This gal had my guys up until after midnight. She's so compelling. Oh, it's so good to hear your voice, Loretta. By the way.
It's good to see you, hear you again, too. It was nice
yes.
to meet you all that night. I really, my main objective when I went over there is I just thought, you know, I am going to go meet with these guys because it will be just wonderful to tell my story to people who will actually believe me.
Yes, and I've got to tell you something now. Wasn't that your grandson that I met, and daughter, or son-in-law, daughter-in-law?
Yes, it was my daughter and my grandson and my son-in-law, and they
Great.
Found you guys at the restaurant. They just
yes.
happened to be eating there, and they saw your truck, and my grandson, who's only, he's 6 years old, and he has just been so enthralled in Bigfoot the last maybe year and a half, 2 years. He's been doing reading on it and watches the TV shows and any documentaries, and he was really excited when he found out that his grandmother had actually had an occasion to see Bigfoot.
You know, Loretta, I got to tell you a story. I think there was 11 of us having dinner that night, and people kept coming over for autographs and photos, and your grandson was so cute. And he's in some books and stuff, and he says, "Oh, Mr. Biscardi. I said, "No, call me Tom." And he said, stood up on the chair, and we took pictures together. I'll never forget that. And I think I gave him a movie or two.
You did. And he's so excited.
Yeah. That is so cool. Listen, I just, so much has transpired since we saw you, but at the same point in time, I want you to tell my audience out there around the globe exactly what happened to you when you had your encounter.
Okay.
You got the stage, girlfriend.
Okay. Well, again, it's really nice to talk to people who actually will take my account and consider it the truth that it is. It happened in 1978, outside of a small town in Indiana, and I was with probably five or six friends, and being from a small town, just kind of driving around looking for things to do, and we drove right outside of town, and there was this old, almost like a mansion to us, but an old house that had been vacant for a long time, and none of us had ever been in it or down there, and we just decided, hey, let's go check it out, right? Let's explore. So we have to walk down this dirt road path. Not very wide, probably wide enough for two people to walk down. And there's a tree line all along the side of you. We're probably walking, I'm going to say, a mile to get from where we had to park to the house. And we're just walking down there, and it's still daylight. But as we're coming back, most of my friends chose to go back probably 15 minutes sooner than one friend and I. We decided to stay and continue to explore. So the rest of the gang started to head back. We're probably there another 15, 20 minutes or so, and it's starting to get dark. So we decide, well, we need to head back too. So we start walking down the trail. Now, the trail going back to the car is all tree-lined, but it's all thin trees, thin, tall trees. And so you can't see back there. It's all brush and whatnot. So we're just walking. Also, we hear this swishing. Probably, if I had to guess, it might be 5-6 feet into the brush. And we hear it, but we can't see anybody or see anything. And we're just assuming it's our friends who are trying to now scare us. So we're sitting going, okay, they're going to try to scare us. And so we decide we're going to get to the car before they can actually scare us, and we're going to scare them. So we start to kind of run to the car, but we can hear this breaking of the trees and swishing kind of right alongside of us. Like it's four or five people is what it sounds like, which is the group we were with. And all of a sudden, my shoe's untied, and I have to stop running to tie my shoe. And as I bend down to tie it, that sound just breaks toward to the road that we're on, and it breaks through those trees, and it is just this huge, again, it's about twilight now, so it's a little dark. I can't see real well, but it's this huge 6 to 8 foot height, as wide as two big men, just standing there, and I'm literally just frozen. I just can't move, and we just, like, made eye contact. It's staring at me, and I'm staring at it, and I really can't quite remember what it looked like, I think, because I was so locked into the eyes, but I remember how big it was. I remember it was how dark it was, and it just stood there, and we just stared at each other, it seemed like, for the longest time, and then at some point, my friend just says, "Hey, run," and he grabs my arm, which jogs me out of that frozen state I was in, and we just start running, and the weird thing is like, it was very manlike, but at the same time not. I knew that much of it from my conscious mind. Didn't know what it was. And when we got back to the car, there were our friends, and we're kind of getting ready to tell them all about it, and they all just start looking at us like we're crazy. And it was weird. We had like this subconscious meeting of the minds where we just kind of looked at each other. We didn't say another word, and we never talked about it again. And it was like, I saw him every day at school, and it was just one of those surreal, weird moments that you never, ever forget. But it's like, we just never, ever mentioned it again. What was that? You know, and again, we had no idea what Bigfoot was, never heard of a Bigfoot. And so just, that was just something I never mentioned to anybody. And then years later, you know, moved to Texas, and I'm raising my kids, and now it's in the 80s, I don't know, 85, 86, and all of a sudden you get all these documentaries and people talking around the world about experiences they've had seeing Bigfoot. And as I'm watching these, it seems like that they've had my experience the way that, you know, I wasn't afraid of this Bigfoot or this thing that was standing in front of me. I didn't really feel fearful, like it was going to come at me and grab me or do anything to me. I was just astounded at what it was and how big it was, and that, you know, it's just kind of that thing where they stare at you and people talk about it and they talk about the height, and I just thought, you know, their experience sounds a lot like mine. And so I just thought, you know, I must have seen a Bigfoot, because I knew it wasn't a bear. I knew it wasn't a man. I knew what it wasn't. I just didn't know what it was. And, you know, so as I've, you know, got.
Hello? Bill?
Whoa, I think we've lost. She might have accidentally hung up.
Jeez. Well, let me, if she dials back down, let me just pick up with her.
Yeah.
I was going to tell her, you know, welcome to the world of Sasquatch, ladies and gentlemen. She's had one of the most prime examples of an encounter that so many of us have throughout the years. And it's just so sweet. I got to tell you guys, the people of Rockwall, oh, my God, the courtesy that they extended to us, the kindness, it was just off the chain, man. I mean, it was just wonderful. And I was just noticing on our website that, you know, you go out to searchingforbigfoot.com, ladies and gentlemen, and then you go up there to news and videos, and son of a gun, our webmaster put it up there, Rockwall, Texas, March 17th, Rockwall news coverage of Searching for Bigfoot, Texas, Bigfoot sighting investigation, footprint cast from earlier investigation near Paris, Texas shared. You'll see a little thing of us talking about, you want to see some real good prints, you'll see them right here. And it's on our website. I didn't know this was up. And by the way, in case Mr. Handsome is there, Mr. Handsome is one of our new guys. You've heard him, ladies and gentlemen, on our show. They call him the Swede, Robert Holmberg. Well, his picture is there now, ladies and gentlemen. So if you go to the Searching for Bigfoot page and you see the crew, just click on it, says the Swede, and everybody is saying, man, who is this handsome guy? Okay? You know, Rocky may have the coat, Swede, but you are the man. And I love the synopsis underneath there. Robert the Swede Holmberg, expert tracker and wildlife survivalist. And that's all true. Every bit of it. I was so enamored with him out there. And, of course, my brother Rocky, what am I supposed to say? You know, I'm between these two guys, these two monoliths, and come on at me, Bigfoot, because we're here for you. Come on, we're gonna have some tea and crumpets. Jeez. Are you on the show, Swede?
Yeah, he's on.
Is he?
Mute
him out for a minute. I want to talk to him. Unmute him.
You're on, Swede.
Hey, Tom, how are you doing? It's good to hear your voice.
Same here, good buddy. You need to go up to the website, see your picture, and Rocky can see him in that video that's there. It's on the news and videos. And I was telling everybody around the globe, you're our new addition. You've been here a long time, but they never got to see your picture. So now they can put a voice with what you look like with the picture. Number two. Number three, I'd just like you to know, they're saying that around the 17th, your coat size should be in. Then they asked me, they said, are you measuring this coat for an actual Bigfoot, Tom? I said, no, he's just abnormally big, man. I mean, you know, his sleeves length are about 12 inches longer than anyone else's I've ever seen in my life. But I just want to let you know that, okay?
I appreciate it, Tom. Yes, I'm looking forward to getting it in here. Rocky's been rubbing me every day.
Listen, what do you think of this crap with this jerk, this Rick Dyer?
Well, you know how I feel about that. You know, I'm not going to, you know, I've said all along, it'd be nice for him to come to Arkansas, we'd take him out on a little expedition ourselves, but that's just me. You know,
it's sweet.
Pretty
hey,
bad, you know what I mean?
What do you think of the hospitality of the people there in Rockwell? Was it off the chain?
Tom, it was a wonderful trip, you know, with your hospitality top-notch and the birthday party and all, which I was absolutely not expecting at all. It was a great surprise. Everybody down there just treated us as good as gold. Everybody we met, we had such good, you know, good conversations, and time flew by. You know, I suspected I'll probably go back there at some point in time just because everybody was just so cool.
And you know what? I could have not said it any better. But nevertheless, I just wanted to take that minute because I got a dash. I got a ton of things to do. But I promised Bill that I'd come on the first half hour due to the fact of I want to let everybody know how we feel towards this goofball. And of course, I wanted to introduce you since the picture is up there on the website. Have you seen it yet?
I have not been to it, Tom. Been very busy here with some stuff at the house. And
Loretta?
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, Loretta, you're a bad girl. Where have you
what
been?
What happened?
You probably zigged when you should have zagged, honey. By the way, on the phone with me right now is Swede. He was there with you with Rocky. And
yes.
We were just talking about how wonderful the people are in Rockwell. And he was.
They
just,
are great in Rockwell.
He can't wait to go back again, and he'll go back there just because of people like you.
That's great. Well, we would love to have y'all. It was really experience having y'all come visit over here.
That was great. Now, listen, Bill, please take over the show. Loretta, thank you for being with us. Stay on. There's a whole lot long more show. I've got
okay.
to dash Swede. Say hello to my brother. And don't rub Rocky, don't rub it into him too much about the coat until he gets his good buddy. All right. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America.
Well, everybody.
Hey, hey.
I'm back. Swede and Loretta, I'm going to mute you out. We're going to go to a commercial, and we're going to come back. We're going to talk to Anthony. At the end of the show, as we always do, we'll have about a 10 or 15-minute period of answers and questions and things.
Okay.
Here we go, Swede and Loretta. And let's go to commercial.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. a promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back. Now, ladies and gentlemen, up on www.bigfootlive.com, that's our radio webpage, there's a, when you go to the front, or the main page, to the left, there will be a table of contents. In the table of contents, you look for what's on this week, click on that link, and it'll take you to a page, and it'll give you a list of the guests tonight. Our next guest is Dave from Four Corners, New Mexico. And under Dave's guest listing, there's a link, and if you click that link, it will take you to a video. And that what it is a video of some footprints that Dave had taken pictures of here this past couple of days. And we're going to go out here to Dave right now. Well, I think we're going out to Dave. I think I didn't lose you, did I, Dave? I did. I lost Dave. Well, maybe I'm not going to Dave. Sorry. I'll tell you what we're going to do, Dave will dial back in. Anthony, how are you tonight?
Doing okay, Marco Bell. Hope everybody's doing well over there.
Good. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Anthony also has a link. If you look under Anthony's name on www.bigfootlive.com, and you'll see that there's a link there, a slideshow. Anthony, I could not get the sound. I couldn't get the audio file loaded up in time.
That's okay.
I just didn't ran out of time. So it's a little harder to get that done. But we did get the pictures of the footprints, plus what you had gotten the week before. And pretty neat. One of the things about the footprints is it's the casting of a footprint. And if you look at two of the castings, you'll see a small hair in the crack where the casting had broken. And, of course, that's what Anthony wanted everybody to take a look at. See. Go ahead, Anthony. Tell us what's going on.
So on that particular footprint there, yeah, it was kind of interesting for two things. One was that, you know, it wasn't big, but the print was incredibly deep in the sand, you know. And you know, once again, you know, I stepped into the sand, and I'm like, oh, I couldn't even make it that deep with, you know, with heavy boots on, you know. And so I knew it was something. But the shape, I mean, it looks very human-like, but, you know, it's just like right at the toes and the ball of the foot, it's just a lot wider than, you know, a normal footprint, you know. But, I mean, it does look, you know, very human-like. But again, I'm not good at making casts, you know, but I was trying to be gentle. You know, rain was starting to come in, so I was trying, you know, I didn't let it, sit out there long enough, but, you know, with the water coming in, I had to do what I can, you know, so that's why, you know, the cast had broken. But I guess, you know, that was kind of a good thing, because later on I realized that there's a hair sticking out of it, you know. In addition, you know, to finding that footprint, you know, I got a general idea in which direction they were coming from. I just pretty much, you know, instead of going where the toes are pointed, I just went where the heels are pointed, with, you know, and set up the game cameras, and that's also where I set up the audio recorder. And I got to say, you know, that record, I love it. It's an Olympus recorder. I love the thing. It has a microphone booth built into it. And, you know, I guess maybe next week if you have time to play it or maybe post it, you know, it's a pretty clear recording, you know,
sure.
of them things making howls. And, you know, the only thing that I can synchronize with that is that when I notice that the game camera's tripped, although nothing is showing on the game camera, but at the same time that the game camera's tripped, that's the, pretty much the same time that, you know, those
you
audios
hear the sound,
are.
Right?
That's right. It's being recorded. So, so I know I'm in a pretty good area, you know, and I know that, you know, like we've talked about in the past, it'd be a miracle to get them on a game camera, but it might happen, you know.
Yeah.
They're all set up. I got three of them out there. They're all set up for video, and hopefully, you know, we'll be able to find something. But right now, it's just, you know, just as exciting just to catch them, you know, howling and whooping. I did make another recording, you know, and I picked up the recorder this morning, and I heard, was able to hear bits and pieces of it during my free time throughout the day, and it sounds totally different from what I had sent you, but it is a familiar sound that me and other guests that you had, you know, have talked about, saying that it sounds like, you know, women talking and screaming out in the
right.
woods and stuff like that, you know. And so I did make, you know, I did hear some of that on the recording that I picked up this morning. It's like I said, it seems like it the activity in this particular area is starting to increase, and you know, I guess it's, you know, it's starting. So I'm hoping to find something in the weeks ahead.
Well, there's one thing to note. You know, when you're making footprint casts, one of the things that's happened a couple times, you know, when Tom has, you know, gotten, we had some people in Minnesota that made some casts, and man, they were really nice and clean, and they had them all washed off. And Tom said, "Well, why did you wash them off? You know, wash the dirt off it, right?" And he said, "When you wash it off, you wash away any hair or any of the other DNA evidence that you have that could be available there." And so that's one of the things that you need to, it's okay that it's dirty and messy when you dig underneath it and bring it up. The idea is to, when you turn it over, that you use a brush and you, like a in a plastic bag or something, you know, where the dirt can be held. And, what you'll find is you'll be able to get hair and other kinds of things, you know, that kind of thing, evidence that you can use for DNA. And so it's important that the cast is going to be dirty underneath and going to have all kinds of dirt on it. And, of course, Anthony, yours was when it broke in half. And, of course, that's when you found the hair. There, you can see it pretty clearly. And, but that's just something that people don't realize. You know, they get the cast of the footprint and they don't realize that the cast of the footprint has evidence attached to it. And
right.
So it's important. So just a little nugget of information to keep, if people are listening out there, and something like that happens. You don't become an expert right away at pouring, you know, plaster of Paris in a footprint. Okay. It takes a little time and takes some, you know, you're going to learn how to do it, but it's not a hard thing to do. It's just, you have to learn how the materials work and how they, you know, and how they, how fast they work and all kinds of other things, you know? So. It's just one of those kind of things that you have to do. And once you gain a little experience at doing it, it's real easy. Just like anything else, right? Like driving a car.
yeah, sure.
Well, Anthony, thank you. I'm running kind of late.
Yeah,
you're
going to
stay on the way into the show, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We're going to go out here to Four Corners, New Mexico, and we're going to talk with Dave, and Dave, as I said before, has a video posted, and there's a link right under his name. Dave, how are you tonight?
Oh, good, and sorry about that mess up there. I hit the wrong button, and I...
Oh, don't worry, it happens.
And I was like, oh, great, you know, so I had to go back to email and get that code back, so...
Well, don't worry, you know, what happens is I got a whole control panel here, and every once in a while I clicked on the wrong button, and it destroys stuff, so it's easy to do.
Exactly.
Well, I you know, I looked at the video, and it's pretty good. I mean, you know, one of the things to note when you look at that video that Dave has up there, and you know, you said you're going to redo some stuff on it, but there's some really neat stuff in there that people don't realize. One of the things, you know, when we're talking on the show, and you're telling people, you know, well, we found some footprints but you know, they're not clear. It's like sandy, and it's like impressions and stuff like that, right? It's hard probably for people to visualize what the soil and the rocks and the terrain is really like. And your video really shows what the terrain is really like. And it's not anything. I mean, when you're trying to walk, I'm not talking barefoot. I'm talking with shoes and boots into that stuff. It's very difficult.
Absolutely.
And all you got to do is, I mean, think about it. You're stepping on the side of a rock, floor of the rock, and the rock gives, and your feet give, and your ankles can twist easily.
Yeah.
It's real cumbersome.
Yeah, and just in that video, you can see that there's the creature had actually crossed over tumbleweed. Like, you can see a pile of tumbleweed there that had accumulated through wind, and then it crosses over some very small prickly pear. Got to be really careful, you know. I mean, that stuff can go right into your shoe. And I had what I'm going to do is I had more footage of the video. Guess I under-edited it, so I'm going to actually make another one, and I'll send the other link to you here.
Sure, no problem.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that was absolutely excellent to show. Now, if you put that together with that video that you took about 2 months ago or a month ago, and you see that creature walking on the desert, you know, and that's the kind of terrain that creature was walking in.
Yeah.
And you look at the pace, at how fast the creature was walking, that's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's you find out little things when you see these little pictures and stuff, and it's very difficult, I think, for people to grasp. You know, when you're listening to somebody talk, and they say, "Yeah, well, we're walking, and we found these impressions," and people are thinking, you know, sand. Okay, sand.
Yeah.
But it's not sand. It's not just sand. It's rocky, sharp rocks, all different kinds. I mean, real loose kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's very loose dirt. It's been very dry here this year. You know,
and it's very difficult to traverse through. It's not like you just, you know, you're walking on a street or a sidewalk.
Yeah,
I mean, it's pretty hard.
Yeah, even for that Bigfoot in the video
see
at the very start, you see like an impression there, like a worn out impression on that little gully, and that's where I didn't describe it, I don't think, on the video. I have to look again, but that's where the Bigfoot had slid. It looked like it lost its footing. It actually slid its butt right there. So
that's pretty neat.
Yeah. And the other video that I was going to add into it was just going to show the stakes, you know, down the row there to show where it's walking. And at the very end, which I forgot to put, it was going to show the very end and, like, just showing nothing. You know, there's no more tracks. It just went,
Yeah, it stopped.
It stopped. And we don't, and now there was a little, I think there was a little, we found a little track, too, in there. And I'll have to look at that video because what happened, I went to Colorado and then I came back here. So I'll have to review it again. But that was just a quick put-together video. And
it was really good. What it really does is it shows, I mean, it really shows the true terrain of what you're talking about when you're on the show. And that's a significant, I mean, it's really significant when you look at it. And it makes a lot of difference. And, you know, that's why, you know, when we talk about, you know, in the mud in the, you know, the dermal ridges and stuff like that. Well, in your kind of an area, you're not going to see any dermal ridges.
Yeah.
Unless it's in a clay or something.
exactly.
Next to a river or you know, somewhere in a creek or something or a wet spot, primarily what's going to happen is you're just going to see impressions of large impressions.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to get castings here because of that. Only when it rains or it's, you know, just right after a snowfall could we get
right.
a casting.
But, yeah. Well, in the wintertime, you can. I've seen some of the footprints up there in the, I think we had in the mountains at one time, right?
Yeah.
And it was, it's pretty good footprints.
Okay.
And, but I mean, you're right. And along or down by this, the river where you guys go,
mm-hmm.
there's, you know, when you see that, and then there's,
yeah.
you know, I've seen the handprint once in a couple of the footprints that you guys had.
Right. There was actually even a knuckle print that we found there. That, see, I didn't
yeah.
have it on the video. It's on a. I'll review the video and I'll add it on there and I'll send it to
mm-hmm.
you. It'll be just an updated one.
Super.
But yeah, it was a really interesting little expedition we had last week and out just near Farmington. And it was, you know, it's what this thing was doing actually. It was on top of a hill and it was walking. It actually walked down a dirt road temporarily and then it veered off into the gully where I started the video.
Yeah.
And you could see a lot of footprints from other people. Apparently the word got around, and luckily most of them weren't destroyed, but there was a few people that put their foot in it, you know, like, hey, don't do that.
Well, I know, and it's difficult, you know, when you have a, especially along trails and things where, I mean, people are going to use the same trail.
Yeah.
Because it's easier walking than it is walking in the open, you know, where all the brush, the brambles and stuff are, you know, and the
exactly.
thorns and crap. I mean, it's scratchy.
Yeah.
Needle sharp stuff.
Yeah, there was a lot of curious people that, you know, heard about it. And by the time we got to it, most people kept them pretty well preserved. But there was a lot, like, a, you know, almost a trail right next to the tracks. Everybody's just in awe, you know, looking at these things like, wow, look at that, you know. And I don't blame them, you know.
Well, I want to thank you for sharing with us.
Okay.
And, it's turned out to be really nice. I mean, you took some really good, clean, clear videos. That was pretty good.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go on up here to Richard, and you just hang in there, and we'll be, as soon as Rocky and we're done with that, Rocky and Sweet will tell us some stuff, and then we're going to have our open forum, and we'll get everybody in there to ask some questions and things.
Great. Sounds
thank good. You, Dave, thank you, Dave, for coming on.
Oh, you're welcome.
I'm just going to mute you out temporarily right now.
Okay.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Dave from Four Corners, New Mexico. And next we're going to go up here to Richard from New York. Richard, how are you?
I'm well, Bill. Thank you. Excuse me. I sent you some stuff, but I guess you didn't get it?
Well, I don't know if I got. Normally, what I did is I reviewed all my stuff before the show.
Well, then you didn't get
earlier in the day, and I didn't see anything from you. Now, you know, maybe I overlooked it. I don't think so, though. But we'll take a look and.
Well, I'll resend it. But
okay, that'd be good.
But the one photo mm-hmm. was one I thought I had lost. It was this big, huge tree snap. That went from about 10 feet up and went across the trail and to the complete other side of the trail. And I think it was done on purpose to keep anybody from going on that trail because I had to duck under this branch to get on the trail. You know,
mm-hmm.
And it was at the exact beginning of the trail. And there was no other branches. There was no wind damage. No, this was clear to me, anyways, what it was. And it was on the trail after the first time I called the show. Within 4 feet of this tree snap, there's a sign up and a fence up closing the trail off. Well, the trail's
wow.
closed off on both ends,
mm-hmm.
but this is on the opposite end of where I usually started, and. It was right after, exactly when I came back from Maine after I called you guys the first time.
Sure.
And then another of the photos is a big, huge footprint. You can't believe how big it is. And it's deep, and it looks like there's a black ring around the footprint in the shape of the footprint, the outline.
Yeah.
And it was the only time, one of the few times that I saw one that I could have casted if I knew how to do it, it had been so heavy and so deep that it pushed the ground litter and the pine needles up around the foot, and the sun was beaming directly down, and it was shadow. I didn't know what it was until I finally figured it out. And then I had sent you a video of, I use nice terms, of a whole bunch of poop.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first found it, I had looked on the Internet at what it could be because it was too big and too much of it, Bill.
Yeah.
And I had read something from Dr. Meldrum had put on about Bigfoot scat.
Right.
And this was like, it almost looked like a snow cone type thing, and it was white on top, exactly how he described it. And it was too big to be anything else in there, and too much of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it very well could be.
And I did send you that video, and it didn't get through. I had just set my computer. My computer had crashed, and I had sent it in to get it redone.
Yeah.
And maybe.
Well, what I need to do is I need to give you there's a couple of sites that they use for large files.
Yeah,
and they're free. They're free.
You can use
those. And that's the easiest way to transfer large files. Videos.
Yeah, but I got that on my new computer, Bill. It compresses it automatically if I press
it. No, even if it compresses it, Richard, what you don't want to do, you don't want to compress it too much because the more you compress it, the less detail you get on the
Yeah,
on the
and one other thing, Bill. I sent it to you tonight, but you probably didn't get this either.
Mm-hmm.
I had taken a picture from a video of what I call Curious George.
Mm-hmm.
It's a small little creature looking out from a bunch of grass from behind a trail marker, and it looks just like Curious George. It's very monkey-like looking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only, the guy, he's probably only about 2 feet tall. And I keep on saying to myself, I'm getting photos of the little ones because I think, in their mind, they can't be seen and they're more curious than the big guys. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, it could be. It's hard to tell because we don't know enough.
Yeah, but we don't know until we have Jane Goodall type somebody following a bunch of them and observing them every day. It's like they're on another planet. You might as well look for what's on the moon. We know more about the moon than we do Bigfoot, probably.
I've gotten several reports of small, small creatures.
Yeah, but there's
in the last couple of months here.
There's big ones there too. Unless they're coexisting, they got to be juveniles. I can't believe they could be that small, though, with the size of it. On that trail that's closed, Bill,
yeah.
I thought I didn't come out good on video, but I followed a track line on ground so hard you couldn't believe it, and there was impressions. That's the one where I told you that on the left foot, that the big toe was about 2 inches longer than the rest of the foot.
Mm-hmm.
And there had to be at least 8 tracks there that I followed. And they were compressed into this hard, hard clay-like soil. That's how heavy they were.
Oh no, I believe it. That's one of the things
You couldn't cast them, but you could see the foot. You could see it.
Yeah, well, they leave an impression.
It had to weigh 1,000 pounds. I mean, I weighed 250, and I didn't leave a mark.
No, I understand. That's kind of a common thing, and that's what we look for a lot of times is we'll look at where a man standing next, trying to show a footprint next to where the footprint we have is, and you'll see that the man barely makes a mark in the ground, and yet the footprint from the creature is like an inch embedded in the ground, and that means there's quite a bit of weight there. So.
These things were at least 21 or 22 inches long. And wide.
Yeah. I think the largest one we have is 23 inches.
Yeah, well, this is close.
That's the largest one that we've gotten to date.
And the weather's finally broke here, so I'm going out tomorrow. There's no snow now.
Good.
I was afraid to go out before because there was a lot of snow, and it freezes and thaws, and it's like you're walking on ice. I tried it last year. It's just dangerous. Now it's good.
Well, when you go out there, keep in touch with me.
Oh, I will.
And I will resend
you that stuff.
Yeah, and I'll post it up. We're gonna go. I'm running a little late right now. We're gonna go to. We're going to go up to Rocky and Swede, and then at the end of the show here, we're going to open it up and for everybody, and we'll be back on. Is that okay, Richard?
Oh, absolutely, Bill. Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming on.
Absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Richard from New York. Next, we're going to go out here to Arkansas to our good friends Rocky and Swede. Rocky and Swede, how are you?
Good, Marco. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Getting over the flu, but I'm doing good.
Well, I didn't hear the Swede. I hope he didn't go to sleep again.
Oh, no. I'm still here.
Okay. I was thinking about it earlier today. Here sometime back, Richard called me and said that he wanted us to say something about water purification.
Sure.
Well, he's going out tomorrow, he said.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm wanting to tell him is the first thing you need to do when you go out there is plan ahead, plan for every possibility, and then plan for some impossibilities. That way, you're less likely to get surprised while you're out there. The water thing, first take a lot with you. Take all you can carry. But, out here where we're at, we have lots and lots of water. We have lots of springs, but we also have a lot of hogs, wild hogs. And a lot of the water we're afraid to drink. The good old days when we could just, 25 years ago or so, we could walk out through there and just drink out of the stream. Now then, whenever you drink out of the stream, it comes back out on both ends. So, and it gets... It gets worse after that. But there's so much nastiness that the hogs have brought with them. But we have a lot of springs that we can still depend on, but we always boil water. Always boil water.
Well, I think that's a safe thing to do, boil it.
Me and the Swede, we never go out with, I guess when we were in Rockwall, everybody saw it. We have number 10 cans. They're tomato sauce cans, but they're big ones. I'm not sure how much they hold, but, we always take them with us. That's why I'm saying plan ahead, we always take a trash bag with us everywhere, every time we go out, because we don't want to leave anything. We want to leave the place cleaner than it was when we got there. But, usually we'll sacrifice one of them, the first night. We will, we'll cut one up and make a water catch out of it. We set a number 10 can under it. We kind of make a, tie each corner up and, kind of make a funnel shaped thing, punch a little hole in the bottom, and then, put a pebble or something to, give it a little bit of weight so it won't be flapping around. But, there's a lot of times that we'll find, we get up and we will have maybe a pint of water. Maybe we'll do better. That's one of the best ways to get clean water. If you don't want to go to the trouble of boiling, but, The boiling thing is...
Explain that, Rocky. It's where the dew settles down on it during the night on the...
Right, and it'll just
condensate on that. When that dew sets down, it'll just run right down that plastic, and you'll get that good clean water right there with nothing in it. And if you get a moth or two, you get a little added protein. You know, Richard would be liking some of that.
Yeah, well, Richard said that he wouldn't eat some of the stuff that we do, so...
I know, that's why I said it.
He needs to take some protein bars.
Oh, the condensation rain catcher is a good thing. You can use a rain fly off a tent, just turn it in, hang it up on by the corners, and punch a little hole in there. We've done that before. Works good, don't it, Rocky?
Oh, it works real good. Anytime that you're around a creek, you've always got to be real careful there. What we usually do, if we're going to depend on creek water, what we'll do is we'll dig maybe six feet from the edge of the creek. We'll dig a hole and let the water seep into that. Well, that's straining a lot of stuff out of it if you dig down deep enough that you get away from all the nastiness on top. But when you do that, you end up with a hole full of muddy looking water. Well, you take that, and when you're boiling it, after you boil it, you take your number 10 can full of dirty looking water and pour it through something like an old t-shirt, cheesecloth, something like that. Get some of the crunchy stuff out. And it tastes dirty. But a little bit of dirt never hurt anybody as long as you kill all the stuff that lives in the dirt.
And you can let it cool too. I mean, if you got like a can or even a water bottle, even if you could, you know, after you boil it, pour it into something and let it settle down overnight if you have the opportunity. If you need the water right then go for it. But if you have time, you can let that water settle down and then particles after you boiled it, they'll settle down on the bottom, and then you can kind of pour it off, and you'll have the next morning after it's cooled down and all that stuff has settled down, and it'd be just like, you know, like a wine bottle there. Go slow and don't disturb it too much, and you can pour off a considerable amount of water without it having any dirt in it. But if you don't have time, like we've been in a position where we hadn't had time, or it's just don't chew down on it because it'll get crunchy in your teeth. Just swallow it down.
The main thing is anytime that you're going out there, you know that you're going out there. Right now, the area that me and the Swede goes to, if it came right down to it, we could jump up and go right now, and we wouldn't have to come out for Lord knows how long because we've got so much food stashed out there because the Swede has a food saver and we've got all kinds of stuff. You know, that sucks. You put it in the bag and then the food saver pulls all the air, excuse me, all the air out, and it keeps for a long, long time.
Yeah, and there's dehydrated. There's different dehydrated foods you can get that are very inexpensive, and those last a long time too. You just put water in them, and
we do some of that, Marco. But we do like Rocky was talking about. Then I get those bigger bags, or I got like a tube deal. You know, we'll put a couple of cans of a Hormel chili in there, and I'll put in a big wad of lint and a handful of a small dried kindling, some cedar split off and some bark and this and that and the other, and maybe a few matches, and seal it all up, and you know, it's a full blown meal with a fire, you know, and it's
that's neat. Yeah.
You know, we I showed something to the Swede years ago, a refrigerator. Tell them about it, Swede.
Oh yeah, the redneck refrigerator. It's not, that's what we call it, but it's
world-renowned, I'm sure, well, I understand that a lot of people use it, but some Iraqis spending time in Yuma, Arizona, I would suspect is where that originally came from. But, yeah, Rocky had a barrel of about a half a 50-gallon drum buried down in the ground, and then he had a galvanized trash can sitting down inside of that with the space, you know, around it, and had it filled with sand. And we was out there at his place out there the first time I seen that. He went over there and picked this big rock off of it and raised it up, and it's hot summertime. Pulled out a big pot of stew that was sitting down in there from the night before. Said I had to keep my stew fresh, you know, didn't have to put it in the refrigerator. And we've used that technique many times, that water and that sand in it, around it. And like we've been out there out and about and kind of did a little makeshift of that kind of a thing. And we split some cane in half and got there by a water source. Instead of setting it right in the spring, you just set it off to the side where you could dig, and we just run that little old half pipe out of there and let that water run through that sand. And you can keep cooked food or smoked food, like, you know, it's about anything. If it's cooked or smoked in that thing for an extended period of time without any kind of spoilage, it's really, really, and it could be hot outside.
As the air evaporates.
As the water evaporates, it cools it.
Yeah, it cools it inside the trash can. And we had that stew in there for over a week.
Yeah, it did.
I mean, it was still really good stuff.
And we've built them. You know, you can use that. We've built that same kind of theory. You know, you can make it as small as the number 10 can type theory, or if you wanted, you know, to make something a little more permanent out there, you could do, you know, something out of stone if you had to. But it's a great theory to, I mean, it's a great procedure where you could keep stuff cool after it's cooked. I mean, you keep eggs in there when it's hot weather. It'll keep eggs fresh for, you know, quite some time, that kind of thing. You know, and even like your water, you know, we've been out there, you know, you drink, you get you some water. Like me and Rocky talked about that, and we touched on that some. You know, it may be hot, and you'll drink some warm water, or you drink some hot water, but it sure is nice to have some cool water when it's hot,
yeah,
100
yeah,
degrees, and you're stuck out there. It's nice to go in there and get some water that's, you know, 55 degrees or so. That's just like right off that ice melt when it's 100 degrees outside, and it feels pretty good sometimes.
Sure. Well, hey, let's open. How about we open it up for everybody?
Sure. Sounds good.
Okay, Dave, you're on. Loretta, you're on. Steve, you can come on. Anthony, you're on. And Richard, you're on. And, of course, Swede and Rocky are on.
Hi, Loretta.
Yes, I'm on.
Hi, guys.
Hey. I was on. I was listening to Bullwick on the background.
Hey, hey, Rocky.
Hey,
Rocky. This is Richard.
Yeah.
I've got. I met a young girl yesterday with a camouflage hat and a camouflage tank top. She said she was going to walk in the woods, and I told her about you guys.
Yeah.
And she volunteered to be your carry your backpacks for you. I told her all about you guys.
Uh-oh.
Nice blonde hair with freckles, about 22.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that's probably one of those things my woman of 41 years now, be 41 the 15th of this month, I think if I had somebody that looked like that carrying my backpack, it would be because both of my legs were broke.
Yeah, I'm kind of there with you, Rocky.
Yeah.
That's what you call a firm believer in a good marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a good one, too. Wouldn't do nothing but jeopardize it, that's for sure.
Oh, that's something that I need to do right now. You know, we've thanked so many people for so much, you know, especially the people in Rockwall. Well, you know, the two that I think that we forgot to think that we really need to was Miss Swede and Miss Rocky. Without them, we probably wouldn't have been able to make the trip because the tax man insists that we work for a living. So, anyhow, one, thank the wives. They're great.
That's
yes,
right.
They are. I'm married 45 years.
Well, so I'm a newlywed compared
yeah,
to you.
Compared to me, you are. Hey, you know,
who was
I heard, was it Anthony that said he found knuckle prints?
No, yeah. That was Dave.
Dave. You know, Dave, one time I found that, I saw that,
uh-huh.
and it was the knuckles and the right thumb was extended from where the knuckles were down.
Wow.
I can remember putting my hand down and it was like three times the size of my hand.
Yeah, exactly.
And I didn't know what it was. And it
wow.
took me a while to figure out what it was.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. it was in sand.
Oh, yeah. Even I had a handprint that was on my glass, the back of my Explorer glass last
summer.
Was it
flat?
Oh, I had a handprint in the back of my Explorer vehicle on the back glass.
It was the palm, right? Was it the palm?
Yes. And it was twice the width of my hand.
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy. I took pictures of it. Fortunately, I caught it before I washed it. So, wow. But that's amazing, you know, three times bigger.
It's amazing when you go out enough times how when you get to a certain area, your senses just pick up.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know if you guys have ever heard this sound. About four times I heard a sound that looked like it sounded like a teapot going off or a fan belt slipping on a car. It was a real high shrill. And I'm sure there's sounds that we don't even hear that are above our range, that we don't hear them, that they make.
I think they even imitate a lot of different sounds, including even some human sounds, too.
Well, once I heard, I was walking in my area,
huh?
And I heard the name George yelled out,
oh,
and it was far louder than any human could have possibly have done it.
Wow, George.
Just
that's
George.
That's crazy. Yeah. I'd have probably just run back to the vehicle and just say, okay, wherever you are.
Well, every time I go out, it's like that for me because I'm by myself.
Yeah.
In fact, when I take a video, it's like I'm running.
Whoa. That's
if I had Rocky or Swede backing me up, I would.
Does anybody have a question for Loretta?
Yeah, Loretta, how hairy when you had your sighting? Was the hair long?
You know, I really couldn't see it that well. Again, I was kind of locked into his eyes more than anything else, and I definitely could see the size of him. But my senses tell me he was hairy, but I really can't tell you.
Yeah, I know. It's so quick, and it's like a life-changing event.
Well, I mean, I remember staring at him for a long time. If I had just had the consciousness to really look at what I was seeing in detail instead of just being awed by it, I would have preferred that, but I just didn't have that going on at that time. I think I was in shock.
Yeah, it's so quick, and it's you can't explain it until it happens to anybody until it happens to you. You can't explain it because it hasn't happened to them and they don't understand.
Yes, yes, and that's what I mean. It's when I can absolutely recall his eyes more than anything else and the size of him. Those are the two main things, is just how wide he was, how tall he was, his eyes, and not feeling fear from him, just being in awe and in shock and kind of frozen at that. But I don't recall being scared.
Yeah, that's what
Loretta,
saying,
I like
Loretta, that
question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, go ahead, please.
Oh, Loretta, when we were talking down there, and that was one of the, at Rockwall down there at the hotel, that was one of the things that was that you had mentioned, that you felt no fear and you didn't see any kind of aggression or fear in the eyes of the creature, that you all just kind of sat there looking at each other, and it was kind of like, I can't even recall the words that you said, but it was like there was no fear in your mind, and that's kind of stuck, you know, a little bit there, like wow, you know. I don't know, like, if this was like a chance thing, or if it knew you were there and was just going to check you out, or what the deal was. But that's pretty cool that your experience and how well you remember it from 1978. It had to have been one of those things, you know. You like Tom says, welcome to the world of Sasquatch.
Exactly. <Yeah. laughs>
You know everybody.
People who go, yeah, we understand that. We understand that. That sounds right.
What I want to say is I've talked to a lot of people about this, and sitting there with Loretta, I think that she's probably the most credible person that I've met ever.
Wow,
and,
thank you.
Well, I mean, just... It was one of those things. There was honesty bubbling up, and I was truly impressed. She's one of my new best friends. So,
well, that is just the sweetest thing ever, and I appreciate that. But it was just so amazingly nice to sit with people who I could tell that experience to, who, you know, listen to me with an ear of, yeah, we understand that. We've heard that. That makes sense. Because even though, you know, I talk to family and friends about it from time to time, they hear it with, aw, you must have seen a bear, or you know, it's just, they kind of believe me. They don't think I'm lying about it. They just think I'm confused about what I saw. And I'm like, I know what I saw. I don't know exactly what it was, but I know what I saw and I know what I didn't see.
Hey, Loretta, do you want to see that bugger again?
I would love to, actually.
You're lucky. They thought you saw a bear. They just think I'm crazy.
Exactly. But no, I would like to see it again. If I had the chance to go back and redo it and ask it a question, I would.
Well, if you get the chance to go back, take a camera.
I will. That would have been amazing. That would have been amazing.
It
was only what, probably 15, 20 feet away from me.
Wow.
Yeah, that's close.
Yeah, it was very, very close. Very, very close. I think he might have been as startled to see me as I was to see him.
Was it on the trail or was it on the side of the trail? And
he never got on the trail. He literally, as he broke open the trees, literally broke them open and stepped forward to the road, that's where he stopped. He never got on the road. It's like he broke through and he saw us. And it's like he would maybe been as startled as we were, because he just stood there and stared at me, and I stared at him, and I was just frozen in it. And again, he didn't move, so I'm assuming maybe he was frozen in it. I don't know. And then we took off running, and at that point, you know, I don't really know what happened to him. So,
well, there's a good chance he could have been. There's two things. He could have either went in the other direction, or he could have been trailing you to make sure you weren't coming back.
Yeah, I have a feeling he didn't get on the road. I don't think he was chasing us or following us or anything like that. So he either stood there, or maybe he just backed up and went back into the woods.
They disappear very – they're so silent when they just back out and they're gone.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I would have sensed it if he was following us, because we were close enough to where I probably would have known that.
Well, I hope you do get to see him again.
Me too. It was a heck of an experience, and again, I enjoy listening to other people's experiences, and you know, giving them a credible ear and saying, yeah, I can understand that.
Well, Loretta, you're right down there in Rockwall, and you know that there's some stuff going on down there. There's definitely one hanging out down there. So
I don't know the details.
Down there, Trinity River there, there's between the two lakes or whatever. I can't even recall what the two lakes' name was. Lucene and...
Lavon?
Yeah, Lavon and Hubbard, I guess it is, isn't it?
Okay, yeah. Hubbard, yeah.
Yeah, in between the two there, that's where they're on the river there. What the name of the river? I can't recall it either now. But anyway, right through there, that's where everything's happening.
Well, is it still currently being looked at? Because I haven't really heard anything.
Well, our situation there, we had to get out of there, but I don't know if anybody, the guy that called up the hotline, all that, I guess there's been a few people has had some sightings down towards that. Oh, it's the Trinity River.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, you might keep your ears open. You may hear something along the way there, something's going on, or you may just be driving down through there and catch one crossing the road. You never know it.
That'd be something, wouldn't it?
That would be something. That would be a great anniversary from 78 to.
It sure would. I'll just have to keep my camera in the car ready to go because I will get a picture the next.
Happen.
Did you guys prove it to everybody? Say, look, here's my guy right here. He followed me all the way to Texas.
That's right.
don't mean to interrupt, but what part of the Trinity are we talking about? Is that California or somewhere back east?
Texas.
Okay, because we have a Trinity County up here in California, and they're Bigfoots all over the place.
Well, that's in Texas, down there where the hogs run wild.
Did you guys see anything besides prints when you were down there?
That's
so rocky and sweet.
Yeah.
Some hogs running.
Yeah, well, that's good food. That's good food for them.
Saw some footprints.
I heard of a story of somebody saw one of them pick up a hog and slam it against a tree and kill it.
Oh.
That takes a pretty strong
something. It would be a problem for something the size of that, but.
I wouldn't doubt they could do it, yeah, but.
Must have been a small hog.
I don't know.
8, 9 feet tall, and I'm sure even a large one they could probably easily sling against a tree. But
yeah, when you're 9 feet tall, most anything's small.
That's right.
Well, it's through a 300 or 400 pound log, like a twig.
And rocks.
But, we've seen like stuff moved around, where a bear could have moved it, but it wasn't tore up nearly that well. Like a hog, like a bear would tear it up with its claws to get to it or get underneath of a log like that. And we've seen big logs moved just like they were picked up and moved over and just sat down so nicely,
I know.
Guys don't do that. You know, men out there in the woods aren't going to do that, and hogs don't do that. They root around underneath of it, and bears tear it to pieces to get under it.
Sure,
when you see a big old log that weighs 600 pounds just moved over, not rolled, just like picked up and moved over on one end of it. That's pretty big stuff right there.
Well, the two guys in Michigan that are one has got his own property on there, and he's got all kinds of bears he takes care of, and of course he has his bear traps or not traps but baiting areas and stuff.
Right.
And he had it covered with plywood with great big logs that he could not move. He had to drag them to get them on over the plywood to keep the bears from, getting into it.
Right.
And the logs were all stood up alongside a tree, and the plywood was thrown about 30 feet, 20 feet, 30 feet from the bait. The bait was gone.
Wow.
And it wasn't a bear.
No,
bears can't stand trees up.
I've never seen any bears carrying any 4x8 sheets around.
No.
No.
Changing the topic, There's a new show on one of the history channels or whatever, Discovery channels or whatever. I don't think we're ever going to see a real Bigfoot show on again because these people are definitely actors. It's almost like that Amish mafia thing.
Cryptid.
Swamp cryptid or some damn thing.
Cryptid, the swamp creature, something like that.
Yeah, you know it's not real.
Monster.
It's like that Amish mafia thing. They're actors.
Well, one of the issues is this. Entertainment is entertainment. Research is research. The most of these shows that try to bring research into entertainment, it's very difficult to do that. How can you do that? How can you be in the middle of the woods with a camera crew, a lighting, sound, you know, all the things they need in order to take a good video for a television program, and they're not going to sacrifice quality of the video, right? I mean, it has to be a certain quality for them to air a show. So how are you going to do that in the middle of the woods somewhere or out somewhere and expect not just a Bigfoot, but any wild animal to be around anywhere where they're at?
When you try to mix entertainment with research, you usually fail miserably at both.
Well, Steve will tell you we've been through that situation. And all that stuff is scripted, right, Steve? To a point.
Well, our belief is this. Our belief in our research through the years, if you looked at Bigfoot Lives, what you see is real. What you see is what we see. There is a camera. However, you have to have somebody that's very dedicated and a fairly good videographer. You're not going to have all the lights and stuff that you want. You have to take opportunity of what you get or what you have available. And we put all that together. And if you looked at it and you see the format of that, they're actually research. There's actually videos of, you know, the tracks, what we do. And so it's a little bit different, but that's something... You know, that's something that the TV show would probably have to have.
Well, let me tell you, Bill, if one of these, like the Science Channel or Sci-Fi Channel or somebody picked up one of Tom's videos, the quality is very good on those, and it's better than anything they put out. The crap that they put out makes us look like jerks. You know, it's very insulting to anybody that really does, that's interested in finding out what this thing is.
Hold on a second, Richard. I don't think we should give Loretta the bad impression that she's not in good company. I think she's in great company here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she's the only one that, one of all of us that has any kind of manners, I'm sure.
Well, I think what it is it's just, Tom has said it many, many times, and what he doesn't do is tell you what to believe. And what he's always, I've got so many different things, radio shows, I mean, other things where we've said it. And basically what we do is we say, you know, you see what we see, you go where we go, you hear what we hear, and then you make your own decision, what do you think. And we're not going to make it for you. You draw your own conclusion to what you see, what we present to you.
If Tom puts
and that's
something
how we've
out,
operated.
Yeah, but Bill, if Tom puts something out, it's a quality product. There's quality to it. There's realness to it. This other stuff is junk. They'll put out anything.
I agree with you.
Well, I know that me and Rocky, we've spent a ton of time in the woods, and we don't even do a cold camp, and you know, we'll walk without any light and go miles and pretty well, you know, pretty handy in the bushes as such.
You know, and there's a lot of, you know, you're just not going to walk up on something. If you got a whole team of guys with all that going on, you know, odds are really against you. I mean, they're against you just by yourself, much less with a whole bunch of people wallowing around out there like that. It just ain't going to happen.
They know you're there before. They know you're there as soon as you're in there. Just about.
Well, they know you're there when you're in there. I mean, it's not a question of them not knowing you're there. When you go in there, they automatically know what's in the woods there. That's their territory. They know exactly what's going on.
That's
but
right.
The thing that we've done and the thing that's worked for us through the years is, you know, we aggressively go out into these different places, and every time we've went out, we've been very lucky or very successful at finding various different kinds of footprints, layers, things that are very, I mean, they're not man-made type of things, and they're not made by, you know, I mean, they're real stuff. And the footprints, I mean, the dermal ridges and the footprints, you can't contest that. I mean, it's like a fingerprint. And when you have dermal ridges on the thing, I mean, it's, you can't make it up. Now, if it's got U.S. Ted's little sticker on the bottom of it, you kind of figure, well, that might be a fake footprint.
Right.
And we've had that happen. I mean, we've had people try to, you know, to... at one end ahead of us to do those kinds of things.
Well, you remember when me and Swede went to southern Arkansas?
Yeah.
While we were there, we noticed when we was talking to the one guy, I noticed on his fireplace a picture of him in a gorilla suit.
Okay.
Having said that, I explained to him, me and the Swede explained to him, and since then, that's what we always do. We say that if you have friends that with senses of humor and gorilla suits or ghillie suits, to tell them that we have a sense of humor, but not out someplace like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, the last thing we want to do is find a Bigfoot and, in order, and if we actually had to do it harm in order to bring it in or get DNA, the last thing we want to see is a zipper on its back.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and, here's what I was trying to explain. Basically, what happens is this. When we go out on expedition, now there's many, and don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong. There's other researchers out there that have their own little areas. I guess I call them personal research areas. You know what I'm talking about? Either their own land or areas where they are used to, they live in. It's very accessible and easy for them to go out and do research. Okay? Well, we're a little different. We don't go where it's easy to do research. We respond to other people's, visual sightings and things. We get calls from other people. I mean, all over the United States and Canada, and that's what we do. And what we do is when we find areas or places where there's enough, where we think that there's a very good chance, based on the information that we get, based on that we can go there and probably find evidence. It's not our evidence that we're looking at. We're looking at somebody else that had an encounter in that area. And there's a difference, okay? So we don't call any one of our areas that we've been in our area. It's not. It's who's, I mean, you know, we respond to hundreds and hundreds of people throughout the United States and Canada. And we're very, very, I mean, aggressive at getting there in a timely manner to be able to do this. And this takes a lot of effort. It it's not an easy thing to do. I mean, Rocky and Swede, I mean, you've traveled now with Tom a couple of times on expeditions. Those expeditions are sleep deprived, right?
Yeah.
You see? And it's very aggressive. And when you go out there, it's all business. I mean, it's boom, 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 boom. And just a lot of things.
You have to adapt. You know how we are, Marco. We don't like to stay at the hotel. We want to go out there and stay at the place.
Yeah, I understand.
You come on this, like you said, it's not our spot. Somebody might, whoever it is, they know a little bit about it. But we're kind of in the dark, literally, there for the first day until we kind of get the lay of the land. And,
absolutely. So what we're doing is we're doing research.
Fun there for a little bit.
But you see, the issue is that these are very, very new, very recent sightings most of the time. Or a concurrent sightings over a period of time from various, maybe three or four different people in an area may have called us, and it's been in a similar area, right?
Right.
And that says that there's something there, and there's a very good chance that when we go there, like Mississippi, on the reservation, there's all kinds of stuff going on down there. But again, there are so many other things that are attached to that, and people don't realize how much is attached to it. One, permission, either federal, state, or even personal permission from the people who own the property. Very important. You have to get permission to go on the property. You just can't go tromping through somebody's backyard and do research. You have to have connections. You have to be plugged in. And you have to know what you're doing when you do that. And
you're talking about Tom now.
Sure. And this is how we conduct research. And that's why we've been, there's a lot of things. When we go to these different places, footprints, casts of footprints, visual encounters of other people that were there with us in Texas many times. Paris, Texas, for example. The one time in Frost, Texas, where we went down, and there was 26 people in the area there that showed up at night, and three people had visual encounters that evening. One right next to them in a tree. That was him in a tree right next to them. Almost scared him to death. And there's a lot of different things that happen. Recording that, and being able to, the most important thing, pictures, videos, footprints, they're all good. They're all good evidence of that the creature, something's there. But the proof of existence is primarily going to be in a DNA type, proof. It has to be. It has to be proven through DNA, and not just one sample, many samples. Because the scientific community does not accept one sample as a species. They're going to go through and they want to see a sampling of many samples. And one of our problems is, through the years here, we've recognized that although we do call it Bigfoot or Sasquatch, there are several different species of this creature that are out there. They're not the same. They're different. They're different DNA makeup, everything. And so that makes it more difficult to classify. And, and when you say human, people say, what? Well, it must have been the DNA was all screwed up. Well, not necessarily true. So, and the other thing is the money it takes in order to do this. Now, just a mitochondrial DNA, say it costs about $6,000 for one run of mitochondrial DNA on a sample we had. That's a lot of money. Okay? And we have, 16 hair samples, toenail, skin, the jawbone, tooth. I mean, there's many different things that we've had DNA done on. But the problem was is that there are different species of this creature. They're very similar, but they're different in makeup of their DNA. So, you know, that and that's an issue. But, you know, people seem to want to categorize everything in one, you know, nice little box, right? So that's what we kind of do, and it makes it difficult. Sorry to carry on so much, but pretty much that's what we've been doing. And it's the network of people that we have throughout the United States and Canada, the people we meet, it's like we call it our Bigfoot family. And we have very close relations with many of these different people. And through the years here, and they keep us in contact with what's going on. So it puts us into the pulse of the Bigfoot activity, which helps a lot. So we don't have to go out and look at somebody's range of how many sightings last year and where were they at to go out and see if you could find one. Why would you do that? Go out to where their one was just there. Or, you know, there's a good chance that there's going to be one there, and get there within 24 hours. And that's the kind of research we do. Sorry. Does that explain it a little bit?
Oh, yeah. That is.
Well done.
Well, everybody, I just want to thank each and every one of you for coming on. Loretta, thank you for coming on the show tonight. And sharing with us, what can I say? Rocky, Swede, Richard, Anthony, Dave had a go. I know he kept him up. Steve, all of you, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your experiences with us and with our listeners. And to everybody out there, keep the Bigfoot alive and keep Bigfooting. We'll see everybody next week. Take care and good night, everybody.
Good night, guys. Good night, Loretta.
Good night, Marco, Loretta. Bill. Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night,
Rocky. Good night, Richard.
Good night, Steve.
Good night, all. Good night, Steve. Good night, Loretta.
Yeah.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold, and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. We brought them together, reason for